Before I actually bring the message from God's Word this morning, I just want to draw your attention to this little card that is on the table in the vestibule. It's entitled Wales, England, China and Beyond, celebrating 150 years of God's faithfulness. On October the 10th, which is our anniversary weekend, OMF are using our building in order to remember God's goodness through 150 years of missionary service in China and in many parts of the world through the work of what was China Inland Mission, which today is known as OMF, Overseas Missionary Fellowship. Take the card and use it, but please try to make the effort to be with us on that occasion as well. Now, if you have your Bibles, could you turn back with me, please, to Ruth chapter 1, that passage that we read together. During the children's talk, Gareth made reference to the leaflet that has been sent around a number of our homes here in the district just recently. Just out of interest, Keith orders in the region of 2,000 of these leaflets, and they get distributed, and we are grateful for those who distribute them, but let's pray that they would bear fruit. On the front of the card, it has a picture of the rugby post. It has a picture of fruit being the benefit of harvest. But in the middle, it's got a question. It's like a statement, bread of heaven, but I've purposely put a question mark after it, asking the question, what is the real bread of heaven? For many people, bread of heaven, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, is nothing more than a rugby song. It is sung alongside the songs of Max Boyce. We were singing hymns and arias, things like that, and people think no more about it. But guide me, O thou great Jehovah, was written at a time of spiritual revival. I mentioned it in the Gazette this month. And it was written at a time when people were concerned about God. It goes back to the verse that is on the wall here. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And that is the truth of the message that we preach, that Jesus is the true bread of heaven. Jesus is the true bread that has come down from God. Just as Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah has become a forgotten hymn, so our God has become a forgotten God. And that's why I read the passage that we did this morning. In a way, I want you to keep in mind the last verse. In fact, the last sentence of the last verse in Ruth chapter 1. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Now, if we were to categorize the book of Ruth according to English literature, it would perhaps fit into the category of romantic tragedy. Mills and Boone could have easily written a lot of what is contained within the book of Ruth, because we have a boy meets girl story. Ruth, an exile, comes back to Bethlehem. She meets this man who is related to her late father-in-law, and they fall in love, they have a baby, and everybody lives happily ever after. That's the way stories go, isn't it? But there's more to it than that. If we're going to understand this last verse of Ruth, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest, we've got to ask the question, why is it, as it says at the beginning of the verse, that Naomi returned? Well, we go back to the beginning of the chapter to find the answer to that question. Verse 1 tells us that there was a famine in the land, and that Elimelech, who was Naomi's husband, in a way acted wisely as a husband and as a father. He said, look, the crops are failing, and we need to get out of here. So he went into exile. He went into the land of Moab with his wife and his sons. He went with the purpose of trying to save them. But we're told in later verses that, in fact, although these men had died, these men had married, their father died, and then the two sons themselves died. So we have got this tragic situation of attempting to save life, but in fact for life to be taken. And then when we get down to verse 14, we've got this awful situation where the two daughters-in-law are with their mother-in-law. They've become attached to her. She decides that she is going to go back to her own people. And Naomi, the mother-in-law, turns to her daughters-in-law and says, go back. Even if I have children tonight, you're not going to wait for them to grow up. You will never marry my sons again. And there is this huge tug of love that goes on. In the end, we're told that Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. She said, okay, I will go back. I will go back to my people. But Ruth, the other daughter-in-law, we are told that she clung to her mother-in-law. Now, that's how everything is working out on a human level. But if we're going to understand this story properly, we have to see that God is in this story. The first thing that I want to show you is a failed harvest and a forgotten God. A failed harvest and a forgotten God. Elimelech, a good husband, a good father, all that he saw was that there was a famine, that the crops weren't growing, that the rains had been withheld. We're not told exactly what caused the famine, but there was a famine. There was a shortage of food. And as a result, Elimelech said, I will do something about this. But there's a clue in the first line of the story, because we read there, in the days when the judges ruled. Why were there judges in the land? Because God had sent them. We were looking recently at the story of Gideon, and we were told there in Judges 6, the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian. The famine had come because God was judging his people. And earlier in the Old Testament, we're told that when God brought his people into the land, he said, if you obey me, there will be blessing. If you disobey me, there will be justice. And this is what we see happening here. God's people, not the foreigners, not the people of other nations, but the people of Israel, God's chosen people, had forgotten God. Elimelech tried to save himself and his family. He saw the problem, but he had forgotten God. Friends, the God that we worship is not only the God of creation. Sorry, not only the God of Calvary, where he saves us. That is the main event of history, where God saved his people, when Jesus came into the world to die for our sins. But our God is not only the God of Calvary. He is also the God of creation. He made this world. But he is not only the God of Calvary who saves us. He is not only the God of creation who made us. He is also the God who rules in this world. And I want you to open your Bibles, please. Keep your finger in, Ruth, because we'll come back to that. But go back to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. And all I want to show you in that passage is the headings. We're not going to look at it in detail. But notice how Leviticus in the ESV is broken up. First heading, Feasts of the Lord. The Sabbath. Then down to verse 4, the Passover. Verse 9, the Feast of First Fruits. Verse 15, the Feast of Weeks. And so it goes on. And as you go down here, each of these feasts is a reminder that the world is not an accident. The world is not running randomly. But God says, when each season comes, I want you to remember me. Look at verse 8, because there the people are told to present a food offering. Then verse 10, God says, when you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priests. And then down in verse 16, we are told, you shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, and you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord. What is God saying? He is saying, day after day, week after week in the Sabbaths, season after season, I am in control. Friends, we live in a world that has forgotten God. How many of us, and I know there are a number, do our gardens in order to produce food? We don't. We go to Sainsbury's, Asda, Tesco, Lidl, Aldi, whatever it is. We expect it to be there. But God keeps the seasons going year after year. And Elimelech had forgotten his God, even though there was a failed harvest. But the second thing that I want to show you is a faithful God in judgment. And we're going to look at God in two ways, a faithful God. We're going to see him, first of all, in judgment. I've already mentioned to you, Deuteronomy 28 says that if you obey him, you will be blessed. If you forget him, then you will know his justice or his judgment. Now, this man, his name is Elimelech. Those of you who know something of some of the Hebrew names will remember that Bethel is the house of God. Well, the El at the beginning of Elimelech is the same El that is at the end of Bethel. So God, the I in the middle, Elimelech, is my God, and my God is king. Morning after morning after morning, this man got up and people said to him, Elimelech, how are you? Elimelech, what are you doing? And they kept saying to him, my God is king. My God is king. My God rules. But did Elimelech live like that? No. Although it was there in front of him, even though the truth of God was spoken to him day after day after day, he was living without God. And when the problems came, he didn't get down on his knees. He didn't cry out to God. He didn't bring his family together and say, come on, let's seek God. He said, no, I am going to sort this out myself. He learned a lesson which the Lord Jesus Christ taught in the Sermon on the Mount. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? Let me ask you that question this morning. Which of you, by being anxious, by planning things, by trying to work it out for yourself, by leaving here and going over there, by making this adjustment in your life, which of you can add a single span to his life? He had the facts. We have the facts. But he used them wrongly. Why? Because he had forgotten God. Have we forgotten God? Well, I believe as a nation we have. Let me give you a few examples. In 1870, I know it's going back a long way now, but the government of this country passed, in effect, what was the first Education Act, providing education for the rank and file. If we provide education, all the problems of life will be solved. Then let's come 90 years later. In fact, no, 100 years later, in the 1970s. Do you remember all the publicity that there was then? Stop eating fat, stop eating eggs, don't take full cream milk, this, that, and the other. It causes cholesterol, it will kill you. And then in 1980, we had the Brixton riots, or in the 1980s, and the report that was written after that said, what this society needs is sports centres and community centres. And if we provide entertainment for these people, all the problems will be solved. But friends, has education removed the problems of life in our country? No. Has a healthier diet produced healthy people? No. Here we are, 40 years later, after that propaganda, and we are suffering a plague, an epidemic almost, of obesity. Have sports centres created better relationships cross-culturally and interracially? No. Even today, there are race problems on the streets of our country. Why? Because people are seeing the problems, but they're not seeing God. And as a result, we are suffering the justice of God. So we have a faithful God who keeps his word in justice. But that's not the end of the story here in Ruth, because we have a faithful God who is saving. We are told in the verse that I wanted you to remember this morning, or the sentence, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Why did they come to Bethlehem? Well, they came to Bethlehem for the same reason that they'd gone to Moab. Things had gone pear-shaped. Things had gone wrong. And Elimelech had gone there to save himself and his family. He died. His sons had died. But God had not forgotten his people. And listen to what it says in verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab. Why? For she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. She had crossed the Jordan. She had gone to a land of people that had turned their back on God. But God had not forgotten her. Where shall I go from your presence? The psalmist asks. And we are told that we can go nowhere from the presence of God, because God is everywhere present. And there God had sent his messenger. Now we're not told who that messenger was. We're not told who brought the message. But God was faithful because he got his message to his people. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 10, because we have the truth of this here. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching to them? And the same question arises, but God has sent his preacher. Now, it wasn't a day when people had their own Bibles, so somebody must have come with the message. Someone heard the word of God, and she was humbled. Friends, it's vital that we take the opportunity of hearing the word of God. You might come this morning and think, well, what have I come for? I got nothing out of that. But when God wants to speak, he speaks. Let me put our message this morning in the context of the Rugby World Cup. That's why we designed this leaflet as we have. Because today, and for the next few weeks, people are going to be thinking of rugby after rugby after rugby. There are going to be 48 matches. But 15 of those matches are going to be on a Sunday. And what is the message that is coming out there? It is come to the stadium rather than go to hear the word of God. Friends, I love a good rugby match, and I'm not slagging off rugby here. And I will watch some of the matches, as long as it doesn't take me away from hearing the word of God. But God was faithful to this woman. He got the message through to her. And she was humbled. She heard the word of God. And she returned. She turned around in repentance. She couldn't change the damage that had been done in her marriage. She couldn't change the damage that had been done in her family. Her husband and her sons would not come back. But she could go back to the place of blessing. Friends, this woman came to the point of saying, we got it wrong. They had tried to avoid the hard lessons of life, but they couldn't. And you might be here this morning, or you might have relatives who are facing the same approach. Life is so hard. What do I do? Well, last week we read Psalm 127, didn't we? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. The Lord Jesus Christ said, for without me you can do nothing. The writer to the Proverbs says, there's a way which seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Friends, you may be trying to save yourself this morning, but you can't. What you have got to do is what Naomi did. She returned. She came. She came back to the place of blessing. Now, she knew nothing about the Lord Jesus Christ. She knew nothing that Mary was going to give birth to a baby in that same village. She knew nothing about the fact that she would be the great, 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 great grandmother of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God brought her back. And Jesus says to you this morning, he says to you, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The bread of life says, come and eat of me. The one who is the fount of living water says, come and drink, and you will be satisfied. The God of the Bible says to us this morning that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We have a faithful God who judges, but we have a faithful God who saves. And the last thing that I want to show you from this passage this morning is that we have a faithful God who blesses. And we are told at the end of this verse that she returned. She came back to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Why is that significant? Well, if you read through the story, and we look at it a bit more this evening, God willing, we're told that Naomi sent her daughter-in-law Ruth out to go into the fields, and after the reapers had cut the grain, to pick up the ears of grain that had fallen to the ground. And you can see that in chapter 2. Now, was she stealing? No. It was God providing for the poor. Back in Leviticus 23, God had said, when you reap the harvest, make sure that you leave some on the sides of the field so that those who come along might, and are poor, might benefit from it. They might pick it up and feed their families. In chapter 3, we're told that Ruth had visited Boaz, and before she left, he says this. Look at chapter 3, verse 15. He said, bring the garment you were wearing. So he's talking about a big cloak here, I'd imagine. And hold it out. So she held it out, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. And then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how do you fare, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, these 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. We have a faithful God who blesses us, not just meagerly, but in abundance. And Luke records the word of our Lord Jesus Christ when he says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, and will put it into your lap. When Naomi was going back with her daughters, in chapter 1 and verse 12, she said to them, I am too old. She knew that she could not provide husbands for these young women. But God had it all prepared. And in chapter 2 and verse 20, we are told that when Naomi sent out her daughter-in-law, she said, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living and the dead. Naomi also said to her, the man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. Friends, there is a redeemer. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a close relative to us. Although he was the Son of God, he became a human being. Why? In order that he might save us. This year, many of us have brought gifts to give to the poor. Why? Because we are again thanking God for his faithfulness. When the harvest fails, we need to seek God and to ask why. Lord, what are you teaching us at this time? Elimelech went out trying to save his people. But this was Naomi's testimony when she went out, or when she came back. Chapter 1, verse 21, I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. And friends, that might be how you feel this morning. The Lord has brought you to this point empty. You had plans for your life. You knew how you were going to work it out. But nothing has worked out. Let me take you to the place of harvest. That great time of the Passover. And there I want to show you the faithful God who died for all who will believe. When Jesus died on the cross on that harvest season, he was saying, I will save you. 50 days later, at the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and he is the one who supports all his people. Friends, let me ask you this morning, are you enjoying the bread of heaven on the rugby field, which will pass? Or are you enjoying the bread of life, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, who will give to you eternal life? Were you once walking with God, but you've turned aside? Then look at the example of Naomi this morning. Come back, return to the bread of life, knowing that as we eat of him, as we drink of the water that he supplies, we will never hunger and we will never thirst again. Let's give thanks for all that God has provided. Amen. Well, our final hymn is the hymn 615. 615, I know not why God's wondrous grace to me has been made known.